He didn't say, "Do not mingle with non-believers," but rather addressed them sternly as violators of what was right. "Do not allow yourselves to deviate," he says, "for what common ground does righteousness and wickedness have?" Hereafter, he sets up a comparison, not between his own love and the corruptors, but between your nobility and the other's shame. In this way, his talk becomes more esteemed, fitting to himself, and more persuasive. It's as if someone would say to a son who scorns his parents and succumbs to immoral people, "What are you doing, child? Are you undermining your father to favor impure men filled with countless vices? Don't you know how much better and more reputable you are than them?" His words would distance the child more readily from their companionship than if he simply praises his father. For if he were to say indeed, "Don't you know how much better your father is than them?" it wouldn't be as effective. However, without mentioning his father, he presents himself saying, "Don't you know who you are and what they are? Don't you remember your own high birth and gentle blood and their disgrace? For what connection do you have with them, those thieves, those sinners, those deceivers?" By uplifting him with these compliments, he will promptly motivate him to dissociate from them. The former address might not be as well received, as the praises of his father implies his own shortcomings, when he is shown to be not only upsetting a father, but such a father. But in this case, he won't feel the same. For nobody would refuse to be praised, and therefore, along with these praises for the listener, the criticism becomes easier to accept. For the listener is softened, is filled with high aspirations, and shuns the companionship of those individuals.